This is Independent Native News. I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock. On Saturday in Denver, about 600 protesters blocked a Columbus Day parade for an hour before police moved in and made over 230 arrests. Colorado is credited as being the first state to celebrate Columbus Day in 1907, and now, as correspondent Maeve Conran reports, the Transform Columbus Day movement, geared toward abolishing the holiday, also originated in Denver.
Grandfathers, we stand here before you. We ask of
Kenny Frost of the Southern Ute Nation said a blessing before hundreds of people marched in downtown Denver to block the Columbus Day parade last Saturday.
You understand, and I have to tell you, if you cross the barricades and occupy the streets, you're violating the law and you'll be subject to arrest.
We understand that.
All right.
Glenn Morris of the American Indian Movement was one of 235 people who were arrested as they sat down in the street to block the Columbus Day parade. AIM was one of the groups in the Transform Columbus Day Alliance. They're calling for an end to the Columbus Day holiday, something they see as a celebration of genocide. At a rally on the steps of the Capitol building before the march, Morris had called for a peaceful protest.
But we always remember from the American Indian Movement of Colorado, Transform Columbus Day Alliance, Red Earth Women's Alliance, all of our different organizations, that when we do these things, especially around the Columbus hate speech issue, the convoy of conquest, we try not to do so with hatred in our hearts, but we do so with the love of our children and our grandchildren.
Kerry Dan, an elder of the Western Shoshone people, spoke of the need for children to be taught the real truth about Columbus Day.
It needs to be out of the public school system, because when they say Columbus discovered America, that is a lie. We were here. The indigenous people were here. And the public school systems need to change that.
The Transform Columbus Day Alliance says it will continue protesting Columbus Day until the holiday is no longer celebrated. In Boulder, Colorado, this is Maeve Conran.
The chairwoman of the Upper Sioux Tribe has challenged Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty to a debate on tribal gambling issues. That's the latest in a series of developments between the governor and the state's various tribes on casino revenues. Randall Davidson from Wisconsin Public Radio reports.
Upper Sioux Chairwoman Helen Blue Redner issued the challenge in a letter to Pawlenty. She says she was upset the governor didn't visit the Upper Sioux Reservation last week during a trip to nearby Willmar, during which he talked about tribal casinos. Earlier this month, a group representing Native American bands that run casinos in Minnesota accused Pawlenty of distorting revenue figures to increase the pressure on them to share profits with the state. A report prepared by the state's lottery shows Minnesota gets essentially no direct revenues from tribal gaming, even though the state has one of the nation's largest tribal casino industries. The report says the state's 18 tribal casinos generated profits of about $1.4 billion. Governor Pawlenty's chief of staff, Dan McElroy, says Pawlenty will consider a debate on gambling issues. McElroy says the governor is disappointed in the tone of the letter, but welcomes the opportunity for a discussion with Blue Redner and all Native American leaders. I'm Randall Davidson.
And in South Dakota over the weekend, dancers and drummers from around the Lakota Nation gathered in Rapid City for the annual Black Hills Powwow. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Francis Lynn has the story.
The Rapid City economy received an important economic boost this weekend as thousands of people descended for Hesapa Wachipi, or the Black Hills Powwow. Officials say this benefited many local businesses as participants filled area hotels, restaurants, and shopping centers. But Black Hills Powwow Vice President Chuck Drust says that the greatest gift to the community could be in the improvement of race relations.
I've talked with a lot of people who have come to the powwow who are non-Native and have told me that had they never come to the powwow, that they would not have understood Lakota people as well as they do now.
Drust adds that many non-Natives are important contributors to the powwow. He says that the city and Chamber of Commerce also supplied crucial event support. I'm Francis Lynn in Rapid City.
This is Independent Native News. I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock.
Supported by Ameren, protecting tribal families from property loss and homelessness. Information at www.amren-corp.org. Visit us online at kuac.org/inn. Independent Native News is a production of KUAC at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.